Tonight we're going to talk about divine arrangements. We've kind of already touched on a little bit in our prayer time, but what do I mean by divine arrangements? Well, those are the times, the events, the people that God puts together to accomplish His plan. We're in a series called The Lessons from the Early Church, and as I began perusing through the book of Acts, which is where you have the history of the early church, time and time again, you can put your finger on the hand of God and what He is doing throughout that early church. Now, I will readily agree that the days of the early church are quite a bit different than our days. They had apostles. They had signs and miracles and wonders that God used to authenticate the ministry of the apostles. But nevertheless, the church was made up of people, and people in different locations around the world. The church had the Word of God, had preachers, and there was persecution, there was difficulties and struggles, there was blessings, there was relationships. We have all of those things. We are that same church, it's just many years removed from those days of the apostles. So tonight I'd like to just highlight three specific areas of where I see divine arrangements throughout the book of Acts. The timing of events, the provision of people, and then the leading of God's people. And we're going to look at some specific events throughout the book of Acts in regards to each one of these things. But the timing of events. Now, as I think about this, I want you to consider in your own life events and timing. We just had an example tonight of the timing of when Gary was speaking with his manager at work. God had me praying. The timing of events. At the very core of this lesson tonight is, I believe, what God wants to do is He wants us to have eyes that are open to the reality that God is at work, that God is doing things all around us, and He is orchestrating things. And we need to stop looking at things as coincidences or accidents, and we need to realize that they are the divine arrangements of God. And take into account, wow, God, You did that. Why? What is it that You want me to learn? How is it that You want me to serve in light of Your divine arrangements that You have placed in my life? The timing of events. Although we can make a case that God could take any event and use it, and that is true, we also can look at it from another perspective. There are times when God plans things to happen at certain times for certain reasons to certain people. Do you believe that in your own life? Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to start today, or tonight, and Acts chapter 2 tells us about what happens on the day of Pentecost. Timing of events. The day of Pentecost was the very day that God chose to bring His Holy Spirit to earth, to dwell within man, to begin His church, to spark an incredible awakening, revival in the Jewish people. The church began on this day of Pentecost. Why is that significant? Well, here's why. You see, the day of Pentecost was a feast day for the Jewish people. Therefore, you would have Jews, actually, from all over the world gathering in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Jump down to verse 5. "And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of," notice this, "out of every nation under heaven." How else can we interpret that than there were people from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem on the very day that the church began. You see, God arranged this to happen in this way. Just like he arranged the birth of Jesus Christ to take place in a time in history when the Romans ruled the entire known world, when there was a road system that had never been matched, where messages could travel, and therefore God's message, the gospel, could travel across the known world. God's timing. You see, what happened on the day of Pentecost was these people heard a message from Peter, full of great passion, full of power and authority based on the Old Testament scriptures. And many, many were saved that day. There were people, verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. That's quite the list of people. You see, do we have eyes to see these events in life as God's planning and God's divine arranging? I want you to think about this for a moment. I was asked this question this week. Are we just to, like, events happen in our lives, all right? Take tragedies. Take bombings. Things happen, right? And it was asked me this week, this question. Are we supposed to just accept these things and just go on because they're going to happen? Because God is sovereign and God knows he's in control. And God allows, obviously, he allows these kinds of things to happen. I don't say God does evil. God causes evil. But these things do happen. And God knows about it because he's God. So are we supposed to just accept these things and just, oh well? And my difficult question to answer when you're put on the spot and... But here's how God directed me to answer that. That question is a valid question, but I think the perspective is off. I think the perspective is off. Because what we're doing is we are disregarding God's involvement in all of these things. How does God want to use tragedies in people's lives? Does God use tragedies? Absolutely does. Now, that's difficult to tell someone when they're in the midst of it. But you know what? We need to get a hold of that now. I don't know if I'm morbid or negative or whatever, but man, I think often I want to remind myself of the importance of including God in all aspects of life. Because what if something happens to one of my children? How am I going to respond? Am I going to practice what I preach? Yeah. You know, I'll probably struggle, I'm sure, but I pray that I will be able to trust God in these times. But timing of events, God is in control and God knows. And God has a divine plan in the events that take place. Another event that takes place in the book of Acts is the conversion of Paul. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 includes the whole story. I'll just read the first couple of verses in chapter 9, where it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." And we know the rest of the story. This light from heaven was the Lord confronting Paul. or Saul at this point. Now, the timing of events. Just before this, we see Saul at what significant event? The stoning of Stephen. All right. I don't care if you are a murderer or a persecutor of the church. When you hear the message that Stephen preached, when you witness his attitude in light of his being stoned, and you hear his testimony, "Father, forgive them," it will leave a mark. And so you see Saul at that point, and he was the one that's witnessing this. They lay their coats at his feet. And then you see him continuing his great persecution in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. He's going through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then finally in Acts chapter 9, he's spreading it out to Damascus. We have all of these things happening in his life. He's continuing to build up this laundry list of atrocities against the church. And then God confronts him. God confronts him on the road to Damascus. As he is taking and spreading the persecution, God says, "Not anymore." And God confronts him, and he is saved, and the rest is history. You see, the timing of events. It's important that we have eyes to look at the things that happen in our lives and watch, where is God in these things? What is God trying to teach me or teach us? What is he doing? Oh God, give me eyes to see the hand of God in the events of my life. I have several stories that I could share in regards to that. I will share one briefly because I know personal stories are really, really can impact hearts. But just the very way that God directed my wife and I to meet and come together. She from the Finger Lakes area of New York. I'm from Central Pennsylvania. But you know that God orchestrated the events and the timing of such that both of our sisters were graduating at the same time from Word of Life. Both our families attended the graduation. And I had to use the restroom. Running up the steps, she was coming down. And I ran into her. She took my breath away, and I haven't been able to think right since. But you know what? That was, I believe, a divine appointment, arrangement by God, because I wasn't a real courageous kind of go-getter guy. So it just took me literally running into her, and I had to say something. Yeah. But praise the Lord that God does orchestrate events. Now, how about provision of people? How about provision of people? I've watched that in this church. I've watched it. And I've only been here 4 years. Many of you have been here much longer than that. And I trust as you watch God move people on, you see God bring people in. Isn't that neat to watch? That's just such a blessing to my heart as we watch that. Provision of people. Where do we see that in the book of Acts? We're going to start in Acts chapter 5. This is very interesting because in Acts chapter 5, what we see is we actually see God using an enemy of the church to accomplish his purposes. Acts chapter 5, we see a character by the name of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel was the mentor, if you will, of Saul as a Pharisee. And we see Peter here in Acts chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 33 and following. But we see Peter here. He is ready to be, they're ready to kill him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay him. Verse 33 of Acts chapter 5. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And you, if you read on, you see that what he says is, he says, let this guy go. If this is not for real, it will die out on its own. Now, I want to tell you something. Peter's life was on the line here. And what did God do? God used an enemy of the church to speak up for his defense, and Peter's life was spared. Can God do that? Can that really happen? Sure it can. Is it wrong for me to say that this is the hand of God? No, I believe God is at work in these things. Not only do we, as we see this, we see the hand of God. May we not give up on God when it looks like there's nothing left, when there's no options. Don't give up on God. That's when God really shines. When things are looking pretty down, that's when we really, really see God work. What about the Ethiopian eunuch? Acts chapter 8, talking about the provision of people. Here is a Jewish proselyte. I believe he sounds very dedicated. He's reading the scriptures. He's been at Jerusalem already, and now he's heading home down into Africa. And he's on the way to Gaza. And that's down in southern Israel. He's on his way. He's in his chariot. And here comes Philip. Now, we know as we read the text that this was certainly a divine arrangement, because God took Philip and moved him from where he was to beside the chariot or near it, so that he came up alongside. But I want you to think about the impact of such an encounter. Because here was Philip, a learned man, evangelist, one of the deacons of the church in Jerusalem, and he is sent by God to minister to this Ethiopian eunuch. We know the end of the story. The result is this man, as he reads the scriptures, and as the scriptures are explained to him by Philip, who knows the scriptures, this man trusts Christ, and he's baptized. And you know what he does? He goes on down into Ethiopia, and he takes with him what? His faith. And you think about that. And you think about how the divine arrangement of such a conversation, a conversion, and the gospel spreads to Africa. The gospel spreads to Africa. The provision of people. How about the ministry of Barnabas at Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Just by context, Saul is saved. He has now come to Jerusalem, but guess what? The church is afraid of him. They don't trust him. It's easy to understand that. He had persecuted them. But who steps up? Barnabas. The ministry of Barnabas. Verse 27 of Acts chapter 9, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Barnabas made a huge difference. And God used Barnabas to be an encouragement, to be a strength in the life of Saul. He was a young convert. He was zealous in his faith. He was preaching. But you know what? He needed a man like Barnabas to come alongside and say, here, I'll take you and I'll get you, I'll introduce you to these men of the faith in the church in Jerusalem. Now, as I think about the provisions of people in my life and those divine relationships, I think about how God has put mentors into my life, how God has put different pastors and teachers to watch over me, to speak truth into my life. What a blessing that has been. What a blessing it is. It is so valuable. And I want to let me challenge those of you that are, and I'm going to quote older here tonight, okay? Your usefulness is not over. In fact, it is magnified. Because you now have the opportunity and the wealth of knowledge and experience to contribute to the rest of the church. Don't sit back on the wayside and wait to die. Live vibrantly with the experience and knowledge God has given to you and pour into the lives of other people. Make that a practice of your life. Aquila and Priscilla did that with Apollos. That's in Acts chapter 18. He was a mighty preacher, but he wasn't quite caught up with all the events that had happened. What did they do? They taught him in the scriptures, and then Apollos goes on to be a mighty preacher. And God used him mightily. How about as we talk about the provision of people? How about Paul's nephew that saves his life? Remember? The little boy that overhears the conversation, 40 men are going to plot to kill you. He runs and he tells the commander, and Paul's life is saved. Yeah, the hand of God is at work. Have you ever thought about all the behind the scene things that God might be doing to orchestrate your safe travel to work? The delay of the person that loses their dog, and so they're on their way and they're hurrying to work. But they're in front of you and you just missed the accident. You know, not that I'm saying that I'm glad other people get in accidents, but you don't, we don't understand really all the incredible things that God is doing and orchestrating behind the scenes. And one of them is our relationships. As you interact with people, look at them and ask yourself, God, what are you doing in our time of interaction here? Why have you brought them to me or me to them? What is it that you want to do or accomplish through our interaction, through our relationship, whether it be for 5 minutes or whether it be for a lifetime? As I consider this, I am reminded of two instances in my life. One is I think a week and a half ago, I received an email from a young man. Well, a young man, he was 4 or 5 years old, younger than me. But I had not seen him or spoken to him since 1995 or 6. Okay? He got a hold of me through my sister's Facebook or something like that, and he wanted to contact me. And interestingly enough, timing of events, this was a very rough week for me. And what this young man had to say was an incredible encouragement to me, because what he told me was, way back in youth group, he shared with me that he had looked up to me and he had respected me in my walk with the Lord. And he had remembered that and he wanted to share that with me. And he shared with me how that had affected his life, how that had spurred him on to living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And today he is pleasing the Lord. He's involved in a church. He's got a wife and kids, and he's pleasing God. But you know what? We don't always realize how God might want to use us or how God is using other people in our lives. These relationships, start thinking of them as divine arrangements. In college, I went to a small little church, and God directed me there just because I had a friend that had a car, and that's where he was going. And we enjoyed our time there, but there was a gentleman there that I struck up a friendship with, and we began to meet on a regular basis, and it was just a year of time. But just recently, he has shared with me how special of a time that time was as we had a chance to interact together. Now, God is doing those same kinds of things in your life right now. And there's different people that he's bringing into your life that he wants either you to minister to, or he wants them to minister to you, or they are ministering to you. Begin looking at them as divine arrangements and give honor and praise to God for them, and ask him to help you be faithful in those relationships. And finally, we've looked at timing of events. We looked at the provision of people. How about the leading of God's people? There's three different stories I'd like to highlight, and we'll begin with Acts chapter 10. Here we see the vision of Cornelius. Now, as we talk about the leading of God's people, the vision of Cornelius, you have a Gentile centurion up in Caesarea. And he has a vision that he needs to find this guy, Peter, down in Joppa, some 30 miles south. And so he, being a man of power, he sends his soldiers down to find this man, Peter. Well, on the very day that they come, Peter's up on the rooftop having his own kind of vision of clean and unclean animals. And Peter, remember, he refuses. He doesn't want to go there. And then here come the people. And from Cornelius. And they come and they share their story. Our master wants you to come. And Peter, they stay at one night and then they go. And you see what happens here is God is at work in both people, both parties. And he's orchestrating these things so that they might meet. And why is this significant? Well, this specific event is really where the church is just opened wide open to the Gentiles. Because here you have a Gentile, and they are preached the gospel, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and the Gentile world is now receivers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a part of the church. You see, God is at work in our lives, and he will orchestrate, and I'm calling them leadings, and I didn't know how else to describe them, but I trust that that you've experienced times in your life when you just know you need to call someone, or when you know you need to go somewhere, or when you know you need to stop and talk to that person. That's what I'm talking about. You see, and it may be kind of subjective, and I'm not suggesting that we base our life and decisions based upon visions and dreams. We base our life upon the scriptures. But nevertheless, the Spirit of God is at work in your life. And as you are walking in the Spirit, your heart will be sensitive to the different lives around you. Pay attention. Pay attention to the man that looks like he's hurting and he's normally happy. There must be something going on there. And you as a Christian have the comfort that he needs. Pay attention to the times when you drive by someone along the road and God says, there's a click in your mind like something's there. Maybe I need to stop. That's happened many times, and I don't always stop. But sometimes I do. And sometimes I get out back in the car and I wonder, okay, that was kind of pointless. But that in reality, it probably was it. I'm thinking of one time I saw a guy sitting on the curb, and for some reason God said stop. So I went by him, I turned around, I came back, and I sat down on the curb next to him. I just talked to him. I believe I tried to share Christ with him. He wasn't real open, so I said, all right, bye-bye. Went and left. But you know what? A seed was planted. A seed was planted. This just happened the other night with a neighbor. I felt like I needed to go talk to my neighbor. But I was really nervous about it. So I went for a walk, and I walked by his house two or three times before I went to the door. But you know what? I needed to talk to him, and I'm glad I did. Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas are in prison. Earthquake, everything's opened up, out the door they go, right? No, they don't. They stay. Why? I mean, they're in prison, right? Earthquake happens and all the doors are open, everything falls off. Must be God. Must be free ticket out. But you know what? They all keep everybody there. They gather where the jailer is, and they stop him from killing himself. And think about the incredible turnaround. His house, he and his household received Christ. There was something going on in their lives where they ignored the obvious escape and embraced God's plan and God's timing, trusting that God would see another way. They put their own well-being aside as they addressed the spiritual matter of this Philippian jailer. You know what? God saw them through. They were released from prison. In fact, you know what? They had to be asked to leave. All right, so finally, Paul on the Mars Hill, he walks by that inscription to the, what? Unknown God. You know what? God uses that inscription to be the jumping off point to interact and connect with these Greeks, these thinkers, these philosophers. And a great message is shared, and the seed is planted right there in the center of philosophical and critical thinking. All right, so what do we do with all of this? Well, I'm trusting that through this, we understand God's at work, and we begin to look at the details of our lives, the timing of events, the provisions of people and those relationships, and the leading of God's Spirit in your life. Begin to look at them as divine arrangements, asking God, Lord, where are you at work? How might I join you in your work? And then do it. You know, we see the early church is full of that kind of thinking. We see the early church is full of these incredible divine arrangements. And you know what? Our lives are too. Let's just identify them. Let's look for them, see them, and live in them. God, please take your word tonight as it has been shared. I pray that you would use it as you see fit. Thank you for just reminding us of your sovereignty and of your control. And Lord, we do delight in your divine arranging of plans, and help us to trust you in them. In Jesus' name, amen.